In chapter 15, it shows that Paul has a planning to go to Spain. And but then before he go to Spain, he want to finish the task first, to go to Jerusalem. And the money that he collect from the Gentile church, so that he can give it to the saint in Jerusalem. And that is his plan. Whether you are a godly servant or you are common people, we all make plans. But one thing, could you turn to James chapter 14 again? When we make plans, make sure that we make the plan that is according to the will of the Lord. But if we make our own plan, it won't succeed. So, and even you make your plan and you do all these tasks, at the end of the day, you will not be blessed. Would you please turn back to James chapter 4, verse 13? That is what James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, said. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Verse 40. These are the plan that we all make. We all do. But the preacher saying to us, don't say things like that, because you do not hold the future. You don't know what a day may bring. So you don't boast about today I do this, tomorrow I do that. Today I go to this city, tomorrow I go to another city. I'm going to spend a year there and carry on business and make money. If it is not the Lord's will, first of all, you may not live. Secondly, if it's not the Lord's will, you won't be able to go there, to go to this city or that city. Verse 14. Why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? Because we don't hold the future. Only Jesus Christ holds the future. What is your life? Your life like a mist that appear for a little while and then vanish. Instead, you ought to say, I want you to circle the word, verse 13. You who say, this person who say that according to his own flesh. But verse 15, you ought to say, you say according to the Holy Spirit. Brother and sister, there are two kinds of plan. One, you can plan on your own according to your own flesh. One, you can plan according to the Lord's will. Okay? And you can say according to what you like to say. And you can say what you ought to say. What you ought to say, that means you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you say the right thing. And then you will do the right thing. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. If it's not the Lord's will, how can I come here or go there? I may not even survive. The reason why we survive, because our task hasn't finished. When we finish our task, we will all pass away. So, I read that one more time. You ought to say, it is the Lord's will, we will live. If it's the Lord's will live. And do this or that. Or go to this city, or go to other city. Spend a year there, you may not know, you may not be able to spend a year there. You may only spend a day there. You may not even spend even a moment there. Okay, if it's not the Lord's will. All such, as it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do, but does not do it, he sins. He sins against God. You know the right thing. You should do the right thing. You know this is the right thing to do. You don't do it. You sin against God. And that's the title I use for the Romans chapter 15, verse 23 all the way to 33. And now I would like to ask you a question to see whether Paul make his plan. Is Paul making his plan according to his own flesh, or is Paul making his plan according to the will of the Lord? And why am I saying this? If you turn to 2 Corinthians, when Paul served the church at Corinth, he was criticized that sometimes he planned things according to his own flesh. That's what people criticize him. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, that's why Paul say things like that. When I planned this, did I do it lightly? Or do I make my plan in a worldly manner? I want you to write that down. Worldly manner is the people say, today I do this, tomorrow I do that. That is the doing thing in a worldly manner. Brother and sister, listen to me. We are all Christians. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure when you do things, you don't do things according to the worldly manner. Okay? You do things according to the Holy Spirit. Paul making this kind of statement. When I planned this, did I do it lightly? Or do I make my plan in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say yes, yes, and no, no? Now go back. I would like to ask, I would like to divide this sermon into three parts. And part number one is to will. Part number two, to act. Part number three, to pray. Follow this. When you make your plan, and if you follow this pattern, you'll be successful all the days of your life. Why I'm saying what I'm saying, I give you some proof in the Old Testament teaching, and then we go in Romans chapter 15. Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. Whatever you do, including how you spend your vacation time, how you spend your money, how you spend your daily tasks, how you spend your energy and your talent. Okay? Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. How do I commit? You have to will, you have to act, you have to pray. Three steps. That is how I learned it from Paul. Go to Proverbs 16, verse 9. In his heart, a man planned his course, but the Lord determined his step. You can plan all you like. If it is not the Lord's will, you won't be able to do it. Okay? And then turn to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. Take a look at what Solomon said. He's a wise man. We should learn from him too. Chapter 20, verse 24. A man's steps are directed by the Lord. Well, you say, no, I make my decision. I do this, I do that. Yes, you make your own decision. You do this and do that. But if you do not commit to the Lord, whatever you do, your plan will not be successful. Say that again. A man's steps are directed by the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is in control of your life. He directs your every step. How then can anyone understand his own way? So I learned it from the Solomon. I learned it from Paul. When I make my plan, do I make my plan lightly, without using my head, without searching the scripture? Or do I make my plan in a worldly manner? Or do I make my plan that is moved by the Holy Spirit? Let's take a look at that. To will. Now I also give you, where does it come from? It didn't come from my own head. It come from the scripture. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. For it is God who worked in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. In other words, the Lord wants you to do things that pleases him. The Lord wants you to do things according to his purpose. The Lord wants you to do things according to his will. He didn't want you to do your own thing, because at the end of your life, he's going to reward you according to what you have done. Brother and sister, do you remember that if your labor outside our Lord Jesus Christ, then your labor is in vain. But if your labor is in the Lord Jesus Christ according to his will, he will reward you every step of your way. He not only bless you now, he will bless you in the future. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, Paul said to the saint in Philippi, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Now, when he teach other people, I want to see whether he did it himself. I find it out. It is God who worked in Paul to will and to act. I add one more. And to pray according to his good purpose. When he planned for something, did that planning move by the Holy Spirit? Let's check it out. Romans chapter 15, go back. Romans chapter 15, verse 20. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Paul has this ambition to do certain things. We all have ambition to do certain things. Everybody say? Everybody say? We all have ambition. We all plan something in our head, right? When we plan that, we're going to execute that. Okay? We all have this kind of ambition. But Paul's ambition is to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. How can he have this ambition? Is this ambition from the worldly manner, or is this ambition from the word of the Lord? Let's take a look at that. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written. In other words, his ambition is in according to the word of the Lord. As it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. In other words, where does this Bible come from? I want you to write that down. This Bible comes from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 15. That means these Bible verses become the light to his path, become the lamp to his way. When he read these Bible verses,
He realized these Bible verses, it is the Lord Jesus Christ given it to Paul and asked Paul to make an ambition, to will according to the will of the Lord. I want you to turn to Isaiah 52, verse 15. Isaiah 52, 15. Before I read Isaiah 52, 15, I go back to my own Bible verses. Go to Isaiah chapter 52. Because Paul is a very good preacher. He never preached things out of the context. He always preached things according to the context. Verse 15. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouth because of him. I want you to circle the word kings. For what they were not told, they will see. For what they have not heard, they will understand. Now let me ask you the question. If you need to explain the word, so the pronoun they, who are they? Jin? In the context of 52:15, Joyce, who are they? I read that one more time. So will he sprinkle many nations, and king will shut their mouth because of him. For what they were not told, they will see. And what they have not heard, they will understand. You know what? When people speaking in front of Jesus Christ, that means he didn't want to listen. When you want to listen, you better remain silent. Do you remember the word listen? It has the same alphabet as listen. Listen and silent has the same alphabet. Do you know that? When you speak in front of Jesus Christ, you think you are king? You think you are in control? When you speak, you will not be able to listen. You have to remain silent before you can listen. I read that one more time. So will he sprinkle many nations, and king will shut their mouth because of him. When Jesus spoke, they should listen. How can I listen? They have to shut their mouth. For what they were not told, they will see. And what they have not heard, they will understand. Who are they? Who are they? Huh? The kings! I want to circle the word king. I don't know, when you read that Bible verses, I believe when Paul read that Bible verse, he said, thanks God. This is what you have told me. I don't know how many times when you read the Bible verses just stand out, and all of a sudden you have a better understanding of the scripture. You feel so happy. You feel so happy, you know? And I think, of course, that day can also mean nation. But first of all, it's the case. And then the nation. But when he writes the New Testament, he didn't mention who they are. Okay? He just said, I have an ambition to go to a place that people have never heard about who Jesus Christ is. I want to go there and tell who Jesus Christ is to them so that they can see, so that they can understand. That is the ambition for Paul. Now, I'm asking you to will it for did Paul to will according to God's good purposes?
Or did he just will, oh, I make an ambition to do this, to do that? Is this according to his own flesh? Is it to his own flesh, worldly manner, or godly manner? I think it's godly manner, right? Because he has the Bible verses. When people ask you, why are you doing what you're doing? Because I understand this Bible verses. It is the Lord speaking to me. He wants me to do that. He wants me to do that. He wants me to preach to the king. Brother and sister, I want you to write that down right beside 52:15. You write down the Lord calling Jesus Christ. I mean, the Jesus Christ calling his servant, Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 9, 15 to 16. Acts chapter 9, 15 to 16 is very much related to Isaiah chapter 52, verse 15. Because God mentioned to Paul three things. I want you to preach the gospel, first of all, to the Gentile. Secondly, to the Gentile kings. And thirdly, to the Jews. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man Paul, is my chosen instrument to carry my name before Gentile. That means Jesus Christ wants his servant Paul to make the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, known before what? Before Gentile. He wants the nation to know about that. And then he wants the Gentile kings to know about that. And then he wants the Jewish people to know about that. But this process, through this process, Paul has to go through a lot of suffering. And I will show Paul how much Paul must suffer for my name's sake. So in order for you to do good, to do God's will, we have to prepare ourselves. We have to deny ourselves, and we are willing to suffer. First come the suffer, then come the glory. And Paul wants to do that. So I see that. Paul make his ambition, make his determination to go to a place so that Gentile can know about Jesus Christ, so that their kings can know Jesus Christ, and so that the Jewish people can know Jesus Christ. This is according to Jesus' will. Okay? Now, I go to the next step. When you do Jesus' will, one thing I want you to realize, verse 22. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. When you want to do Jesus' will, Satan is the one who can oppose you. He can hinder you. Okay? Because when you do Jesus' will, you will be rewarded now, you will be rewarded in the future. And besides, when you do Jesus' will, and Jesus will protect you, will use you to bear a lot of fruit. So that's why Satan know that, Satan hinder him from coming. Now, I go to point number two, to act. To will, you write that down, 15, 20 to 21, Roman, 15, 20 to 21. It is God who worked in the life of Paul to act now. Roman 15, 22, all the way to 29. It is God who worked in Paul to act. First of all, he has ambition to will, and then now to act. Verse 23. But now, there's no more place for me to work in this region, since I have been longing for many years to see you. To see you, that means see you in Rome, okay? I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there. After I have enjoyed your company for a while, verse 25, now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem. This is the unfinished task that Paul has to finish before he go to Spain. Before he go to Spain, he has to pass through Rome, Italy. Okay? Now, verse 25 again. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saint, in the service of the saint there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. And they were pleased to do it. And indeed, they owe it to them. For it is the Gentile, for if the Gentile have share in the Jews' spiritual blessing, they owe it to the Jews to share with their material blessing. I want to stop here and explain this Bible verse. Among all the servants of God, you just take my statement and put it in your heart, and then later on, when you read 13 books that is written by Paul, you check it out. I found out Paul is the servant. His heart was used to be so stiff-necked, stubborn. But his heart was softened when he come to know Jesus Christ. Every time when he hears something, as long as it is the word of the Lord, he is the first one to do God's will. That's why God used him. That's why he can write 13 books, more than any other people, both from the Old Testament and in the New Testament. I want you to check it out. Turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. During this time, this is in the early part of Paul's ministry. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. And this happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciple, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. And this they did, sending their gift to the elder by Barnabas and Saul. Brother and sister, when they hear that the people in Judea will face famine, and one of the prophets called Agabus and predicted that, and there will be a severe famine, and then during the reign of Claudius, and it just happened, just like what the prophet has predicted. Where's those people who hear that? They do something about it. And then they collect the money, give it to Barnabas and Paul, and then Barnabas and Paul give it to the people in Jerusalem. Chapter 12, verse 25, they finish the task and they go back to Antioch. When Barnabas and Saul has finished their mission, they return from Jerusalem, taking with him John, also called Mark. Mark is the one who write the Gospel of Mark. So, from chapter 11 and chapter 12 of book of Acts, we know that Paul is not the first time to go to Jerusalem, bring the money from the Gentile churches to the church in Jerusalem. Because we see that in Romans chapter 15, and he go there. Romans chapter 15 is a few years after chapter 11 and chapter 12. Okay? Now, I don't know whether you remember when Paul preaching so many gospels according to the Galatians, to various Gentile places. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants Paul to go back to Jerusalem to talk to James, Peter, and John. And then James, Peter, and John, they're the pillar of the church. They affirm Paul's ministry. And they realize God calling Paul to be apostle to the Gentiles. And they call John, James, and Peter to be the apostle to the Jews. And then the three pillars, the three leaders of the church remind Paul, when you preach the gospel, do not forget about the poor. Remember the poor. And Paul says, these are the very things we always do. We prove it. 11, 12, and then now 15. All these things that they tell what Paul should do, Paul knew. Paul has already done that. As a matter of fact, chapter 11, chapter 12 is before the Council of Jerusalem, the meeting, the big meeting. We got to the Gentile, once you believe in Jesus Christ, should you be circumcised? That's chapter 15. They have a big argument. So if chapter 11, chapter 12, Paul has already done that, he knows what he's talking about. He's a good servant. Now, talking about giving money to the poor in Jerusalem, you have to know the background. What's the background? In the early part of the book of Acts, all those people in Jerusalem, they love Jesus Christ, they sold their house, they sold their property. One of them is a famous one, is Barnabas. He sold his land, gave it to the apostle, put it by his feet, and let them use it to share the gospel. Now when you sold your house, you sold your land. The severe famine comes. Do you have money? You have no cruiser. You have no money. Paul knows that. That's why. You know what? If the Jewish people do not love Jesus Christ and sow his land, sow his property, how can the apostle spread the gospel throughout all over the place? You go from one place to another place, you need money to do it. Do you remember that? God knows that. Jesus Christ, the baby Jesus Christ, has to move away from Bethlehem and to Egypt. But you need money. God also know that Joseph and Mary is a poor guy. He's a carpenter. He has no money to move from one place to other places. So he moved the Gentile, a wise man, to come all the way from his place to Bethlehem and give him gold and myrrh and olives, I think. I'm sorry, incense. Okay, and when the Gentile wise man did the thing, so Joseph had enough resources to do according to God's will. Brother and sister, when God wants you to do His task, He provides all your resources. He won't tell you to do it and then say, wow, you got to come up with money and do it. No, He provides first before He tells you to do it. Every time He gives you a command to do things, He always gives you a blessing first. You can count on that. Okay? In the same way, when Paul hears from the prophet Agabus and predicted the famine there, Paul not only do it once. When he go to the church of Corinth, if it's the Lord will, after the book of Acts, I will talk about 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Then we learn more about what happened. So when Paul realized that these godly people in Jerusalem, when they face severe famine, they run out of money, and Paul write to various churches, talk to various churches, you owe it to the Jewish people, because they contribute so much so that the gospel can spread to your place, so that now you can come to know Jesus Christ, now you become rich, you pay them back. I like the word that Paul used. He not only give contribute the money with gladness. He also contributes with the thinking that you owe it to them. You know what? If you owe it to them, what do you have to do? You have to pay it back, whether you like it or not. You have to pay it back. Circle the word. Do it with gladness. And secondly, do it with the attitude of you owe it to them. You know what? Just from the book of Romans, I see that Paul mentioned three things that he owed to other people. When Paul preached the gospel to the Gentile, Paul said that I owe it to them. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I am obligated both to Greek and non-Greek, both to the wise and the fools and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. The reason why I go to Rome and preach the gospel to you, because I owe it to you. I owe it to you. And now, go to Romans chapter 13. When you love other brother and sister, make sure that you owe it to them. You realize that you owe it to them, then you will do it. You will do it with gladness. You do it with the right attitude. 13:8. Let no debt remain outstanding except continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. You owe it to them. You have to pay back. You preach the gospel. Why? You owe it to them. You love other brother and sister. Why? You owe it to them. You contribute to the need of the poor people because you owe it to them. Okay? That's good. Now, and then, when Paul do things, he followed the will of the Lord. He followed the word of the Lord. He followed the moving of the Holy Spirit. So he make an ambition to go to the place people never heard about Jesus Christ. He want to make known the name of our Lord Jesus Christ because he know that the command of God is to believe in the name of his son Jesus Christ. So he make his name known to the people who never heard of it so that they can see, wow, Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Son of God, so that they have the same salvation that we share. And second, he loved them. He loved them. He bring the money to them. Okay? And he also encouraged the Gentile church that he served to collect the money and give it to the Jewish people in Jerusalem. And after he done that, verse 28, so after I have completed this task of giving the money to the saint that who faced severe famine, they sold their property, they lost all the money now they get it back numerous times, okay? And have make sure that they have received this fruit. And I will go to Spain and to visit you in Rome on the way. Verse 29. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. Brother and sister, Paul is so filled with the Holy Spirit. Wherever he go, he gonna give you the spiritual gift. When your family is in need, when he lay hands on your head, your problem will be solved. He will give you the full measure of his blessing because Jesus Christ is filled him with all the power and blessing. And then he also said, when you get the blessing, make sure when I spend some time with you in Rome, when I give you the blessing, you get encouraged and I get encouraged and you send me on the way to Spain. What does it mean by send me on the way to Spain? That means whatever I need to go to Spain, you provide for me. You remember last week I talked about when he faced shipwreck, he go to the
the Malta, I think that's the name of the island, and the father of the leader has a dysentery, right? A diary, and just about the high fever too. And when he prayed for him, thing happened. He got healed, right? Brother and sister, when you open your house, just like the poor widow opened the house for Elijah, her son was resurrected from the dead. The rich woman opened her house and built a second story for Elisha. The rich woman has everything except son. And later on, his son passed away. Elisha laid down on him, and he was resurrected too. You shut your heart to the servant of God, you lose a lot of blessing. I remember when I was in New York, I get invited to the church in Australia to see whether it's the Lord willing for me to serve in Australia. I went there, and there's a couple, it's a young couple, has married for a few years, but no children. It's a big house. They accommodate me in a very roomy place. And in the dinner time, I say, "Where's all your children?" And then the sister is shedding her tears, saying, "We have no children." I say, "Do you want to have children?" I ask. And he say, "Yeah." So I pray for her, for children. And when I left, 3 months later, I received an email. "Thank you, Pastor John. I'm pregnant now." And how do I know that? Because I myself get the same kind of blessing when I was a deacon in the mission department, in the church that I attend. And during the month of the mission, most of the time is the deacon or the elder accommodate the outside speaker. I open my house, accommodate Paul Patel, the missionary speaker, to come to our church to share the vision, how should we spread the gospel to other places. And then Paul Patel asked me, where's your children? I said, "I have no children." And he prayed for me. And a year later, I have a children. I have a joy. You get the blessing. You know that's how you get it. You learn from it, and you do it. So that's why Paul say, "When I come to you, I don't come to you with empty handed. When I come to you, I want you to know. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ." Paul know that, but Paul want you to know. So that's why he write it down. Okay? Now, point number 3. It is God who worked in Paul not only to will, to make a decision where to go according to God's good purposes, according to Isaiah 52:15, according to Acts chapter 9, 15, 16. And then it is God who is at work in Paul to act. Some people to make a decision, to make a will, and then don't carry it out. But Paul is not that kind of person. He acts according to his will. And now, he pray about that. Verse 30. So now it's time's up already. Right? Okay, I stop here. Our Heavenly Father, so make sure we have that clock, okay? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that every time when we make any decision, make any plan, help us to plan it, to will it according to your good purpose. And help us to act according to it. And then after we've done all our part, we commit it to the Lord and ask God to bless us. And ask God to protect us so that we can finish it with a lot of fruit.
I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.